Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word, and we thank you for training us, correcting us, warning us, admonishing us, Father, each day. You are our Father. We are your children. We are your sons and daughters. And we want to be the sons and daughters who please you, who make you happy, who bring glory and praises and honor to you alone, Father. We thank you for your word today. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who will be our teacher in this class. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, let's turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Romans chapter 3:23. This is a common scripture that we always quote when we want to tell people about Jesus. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Does the Bible say a few people have sinned? Or only certain group of people have sinned? No, the Bible says everybody has sinned against God. The question is, if you see a very beautiful little baby just born and put on the crib and very innocent looking, nice looking baby, the skin looks so shining and you want to hug that baby. How many people like baby here? I love baby. I know Paul love baby too, my son. So if you see that baby, you think that baby is pure and holy? No. That innocent looking, beautiful baby is also a sinner. Look at the Bible in Psalm chapter 51 verse 5. Psalm 51 verse 5. Psalm 51 verse 5. What the Bible say about people who were born into the world? Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. So in fact, even a fetus in the mother's womb has already been a sinner before it is born. So any human being, from fetus to newborn, baby, and grow up to be toddler, teenager, you, until you get old, you still have that sinful nature on the inside of you. Everybody is a sinner by nature. What does it mean, sin? Sin means displeasing God, breaking the law of God, or disobeying God. Actually, a baby is a sinner not because the baby starts to sin. A lot of time we misunderstand, especially in the Eastern religion belief. When I was young, I believed that I would not be a sinner until I sin. Only look at the action. But in fact, the Bible says that we have that nature on the inside of us from Adam and Eve. We were born with the sinful nature. When we talk about sinful nature, what does it mean? It means self. Every baby, every child, every person on earth who have not given their life to Jesus, live their life for that natural, selfish nature. By nature, we are selfish. Everyone grew up thinking about self. Me, me, me. No one think about God and even reject God. So self or selfishness or thinking about self is sin. And every one of us, I believe we all accept that we have a part of that. That we think about myself, think about me, 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 me. How God wants to save us is to turn that word around instead of self into Him, to God. So anytime we think about me more than God, we are sinning against God. But when we start to think that, how can I please God? I want to go back to God. It's not about me. It's not about my reputation. It's not about my need. But it's about Him about His purpose, about His will, then we start to come out from that sinful nature little by little. And we were created to know God and glorify God, but unfortunately, Adam and Eve look at themselves and say, I'm going to please my stomach with that fruit. I'm going to do whatever I want. You see, everything about I and me. That's the first sin happened in the world. When Adam say, yes, I'm going to do whatever I want. I want to grab that fruit and eat. And I will do whatever I want. Sin come into the world. The word self start to impact Adam. And this nature, selfish or sinful nature, is very destructive. And it divides us from God. So today, I would like to look through many scriptures to show you what the Bible talks about the consequences of sin. I think it's sometimes good to know if you do something, what's going to happen to you? Then you don't want to do it. You see what I mean? If you don't know the consequences, if you have a baby one day, you have a kid and say, okay, if you touch that, I'm going to spank you. And the kid will pull the hand away. And say, okay, I'm not going to touch. Tanida, my daughter, she's very good in taking care of kids. Da doesn't take care, my wife doesn't take care of young kids anymore because our kids grow up. But now Tanida babysit her friend's kids all the time, about 5 years old, 4 years old, running around in my house. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that she's very, very strict. Don't do that. If you do, I will spank you. I can see right away that the kids kind of pull the hand off and walk away because they know the consequences. If they do, they're going to get spanked. The same thing, as a Christian, if we know the consequences of sin, we don't want to play a game with sin. Amen. Because we don't want to get into trouble. Is that right? So God gives us a lot of information in the Bible regarding the consequences of sin. Look at the first one, Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 to 7.
Genesis 6, 5 through 7. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that He had made human beings on the earth, and His heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them.
The Bible says that God was grieved in His heart. Every time we sin against God, the first thing that we do is to grieve God. Consequence of sin is to grieve God. That is the impact that happened. When I was only 1 week old Christian, I was sitting in the operating room in Bangkok and it was so new. I just brand new believer. I was eating lunch for the lunch break between surgery. I asked God that, God, why did you choose this way? That Jesus had to suffer and die for me. Why did you choose this way? I don't understand because I was a Buddhist before. And I heard the Lord spoke to me that one of the reasons that He chose to suffer for us is that He can win our heart that we will love Him. You see, in fact, yesterday I was driving to the hospital to make round, and the picture of Jesus carrying the cross up to the hill called the skull or Calvary. That picture came into my mind while I was driving. And then God spoke to me, do you know that that cross is not just a smooth, nice piece of wood that come out from carpentry shop? It was full of spike and a kind of rough surface. Have you ever heard the song, The Old Rugged Cross? Mm-hmm. Yeah, very rough surface. And He spoke to me that, do you know that the wound on His back from the whips, that wood rubbed on Him. And He was losing blood to the point that the pain and the weakness of losing blood and lack of sleep that night, He could not continue carrying the cross by Himself anymore, to the point that the Roman soldier had to pull another man to come and carry the cross for Him. You watch the movie The Passion of Christ, you remember the story, or it's in the Bible. when I had that vision and God spoke to me, I was crying in my car. I said, God, oh Jesus, you love me so much that I cannot imagine that if I have to go through that myself. Even one needle puncture for drawing blood from your arm, you already get scared to death. You know, you see the needle come to your arm to draw blood. You're like, ah, I don't want that needle. But God suffered so much for us so that we can love Him so much. I believe that talking about the gospel or the death of Jesus Christ is something we need to repeat again and again to remind us how much God loves us. And if we love Him back enough, we don't want to make Him grieve. Mm-hmm. Is that right? When you love somebody, you don't want to make that person upset or unhappy. You want to please that person because of love. So we should not grieve God. We should make God happy by not getting involved in sin. Amen. Yeah. Look at another scripture. Psalm 51 verses 3 to 4. Psalm 51 verses 3 to 4.
For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, only you, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful from birth.
King David says that I acknowledge my transgressions. Transgression means breaking the law of God. And my sin is always before me. Sin brings guilt. You feel guilty when you sin against God. And that guilt feeling is not very healthy. It makes you feel yucky, feel unworthy, feel that, oh God may not listen to me anymore. I'm unworthy. I'm just so far away from God. So when we keep sinning and we don't want to repent, that guilt gonna come and eat us, eat our spirit, eat our soul. And it causes to feel like I cannot do anything. I'm just so unimportant, unprecious in the eyes of God. So we should not sin against God, because that sin is going to keep coming back to before us and make us feel guilty. Amen. That's why we thank God for the washing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That the blood of Jesus washed us as white as snow. We don't have to feel guilty anymore after we come into Him. Before we become a Christian, we look back sometime, oh wow, that day I steal, I lie, I cheat people, I talk bad about people, I gossip about people, and that guilt come back, keep coming back because we sinned against God. We don't want to live in guilt. We should live in holiness and in cleanness of the heart. We don't have to worry about what we did in the past. Amen. So the second consequences of sin, besides grieving God, we also live in guilt, so we should not sin against God, okay? Isaiah 59 verses 1 to 2. Isaiah 59 verses 1 to 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. What is the consequence of sin here?
Separation from God.
Separation from God. Amen. We will be separated from God, and He cannot hear our prayer. He cannot come close to us because of our sin. That's why we need to be covered and be washed by the blood of Jesus on a daily basis. We need to come by faith to God and say, God, I believe my sins are forgiven. My sins have been washed by the blood of Jesus. We come to God with repentant heart every day, humble every day, so that that relationship with God will be restored back again. Like when I talked about last Friday that I didn't feel good about coming. I didn't feel like I was not in a good mood to come to the revival service. But I repent. I say, God, I'm really sorry. I have this feeling. You need to help me. I don't want you to be separate from me. I want you to be close to me. I know I cannot help myself, but I'm sorry. I need your forgiveness and help me. Tonight you need to show up in a meeting and still use me. But I know I was wrong because I have negative attitude toward the situation around me. Anytime you know that you sin against God, you need to repent right away. And you say, God help me. And you can get back to that deep relationship again. To have closer relationship, and God can hear your prayer and He can help you right away.
Amen.
Amen. A lot of Christians don't understand this issue, keep sinning and sinning and sinning, and they keep complaining. I don't understand why God never answer my prayer. I pray and pray and God never answer, because they forget that they keep sinning. So God could not hear. The sin block between them and God. So we need to repent every single day and turn back to God and always examine ourselves. Do we have any bad attitudes or do anything wrong in our heart? Or we need to be careful. Amen.
Amen.
Even little things, we have to watch ourselves. Sometimes just little sin, we need to get rid of it and don't harbor it or keep it in our life. Matthew 25:46. Another consequence of sin, if we don't want to repent and we deny God, we don't want to turn our face to God, what's going to happen to people who totally reject God, don't want to repent, don't care about God, just continue in sin forever in this life. Continue again and again in sin. And one of the sins is rejecting Jesus. You need to understand that people say to me, oh, I never rob a bank, I never kill anybody, I never do anything wrong, I never sin. No, you sin because you reject your Creator. You reject Jesus who died for you. That is sin too, you see. Matthew 25:46, and this will go away into everlasting punishment, and the righteous into eternal life. What is the consequence of sin here?
Eternal damnation,
eternal judgment in hell. That's not fun. Consequence of sin is hell. People who don't repent will stay in hell for eternity. Next one, Romans 6:17. Romans 6:17. Romans 6:17.
But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance.
Another consequence of sin, sin enslaves us. Sin chains us. Put the chain and yoke on our neck. It causes us to be slave to sin. So the more you do it, the more difficult you get out from it. Because it will put the handcuff tighter and tighter. I've seen so many people who get addicted to pornography in the internet. And even pastors, even ministers, when they get to the hotel for the pastoral meeting, then the internet come up in those room. And I wonder why people do that. They know the Bible. I think because they are enslaved. They got imprisoned by that sin. They could not get out from it by themselves. They need the fire of God. They need to be set free by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to be very careful not to play a game with sin. It's like if you put your hand into the mouth of the lion, you think, oh, it's okay. The lion is going to bite and it will not let go. Bite and hold on. And then you get stuck. Your hand cannot come out. Sin is like that, like a wolf that try to bite you and grab on you and just hold on to you and don't want to let you go. So you have to repent seriously and really move out of that as soon as possible. Amen. Okay, next is 2 Corinthians 4:4. Paul says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So sin not only enslaves, not only bring eternal judgment, not only separate us from God, not only brings guilt, but sin also causes us to be blind spiritually. When you get into certain sin for a long time, your conscience is seared or broken to the point that you don't care anymore. You become blind to yourself that it's okay to do this. So we have to be careful not to allow sin to influence us to the point that we are blind spiritually and we don't see what is right, what is wrong anymore. Have you ever seen people live in that kind of lifestyle that they just totally blind? It's so wrong, but they're still doing it. And they think it's okay because they are blind spiritually. Mm-hmm. Okay? Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. What is another consequence of sin?
Death.
Spiritual death. Can you give example of spiritual death? What does it mean? No growth.
You can't discern spiritual things or communicate with God.
You cannot communicate with God. You cannot discern spiritual things. Amen. I like the answer. Yeah, no growth, no progression, just stagnation. What else? Death, spiritual death. No deep understanding of the spiritual thing or wisdom of God. Everything is so surface. And you don't go anywhere. You just stay there stagnant and become defeated. And it eventually will bring death to your body and to your mind, your soul. People who are spiritually dead usually are very sad, very depressed, lack of faith, very negative, very critical, very sour and unhappy and bitter, and everything is negative and just live in doubt. People around them are suffering because of them, because it's that toxic or poison spill on people around them. Spiritual death is not good. And Christian can be spiritually dead too.
Yeah.
Is that right? We have to be careful. We need to stay alive in Christ all the time. We need to get rid of sin as soon as possible, because sin will cause us to be in the condition of we call spiritual death. And we don't want to be in that condition. People who are spiritual dead usually like very lukewarm, kind of no zeal, no energy, no enthusiasm. Feel like everything in the kingdom seems to be a burden. They just go to church, just dragging their feet to go to church. They don't care. They don't see the heart of God, the vision of God, what God wants to do. They're so blinded and so dull to the things of the Spirit. And we don't want that to happen in our church. We want everyone to be alive, to be enthusiastic, to see what God wants to do, to have the bigger vision, to take the limits off from God and see that God can do bigger things for them. And
yeah.
Like Joshua and Caleb, spiritually alive in God. Have relationship with God. Amen. Okay, Ephesians 2:12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. The Apostle Paul talking about the people who, before they became a Christian and come to know Christ, without Christ, they had no hope. Very hopeless life. There's no way out. Life on earth is just so hopeless. Have you been in that condition before? I did. So hopeless. Everything looked just impossible. At that time, before I came to know Christ, I had a lot of problems with Pastor Da in relationship. And I did not see the way out. I did not see how we can improve this situation. Very tough. I look at my dad and my mom, who did not know God at that time. They could not talk to each other. They really have bad relationship. No hope. It just have to be that way. And it's going to go downhill. But thank God, after I and Pastor Da came to know God, came to know Christ, then everything turned around. We have hope. We get getting higher, higher in Mount Zion. We are not going back down to Egypt, but we're going back up higher and higher in the mountain of God.
Amen.
And the same with my family, my dad, my mom, everyone around. So we have hope in the church. You know, when you look at each other's eyes and you say, oh, wow, this person still struggle. Is there any hope? Yes. If you follow Christ, you have hope. You're going to get better. You don't have to be so hopeless all the time. Things going to get better. Amen. Sin, when you live in sin, there's no hope. Become hopeless people. Titus chapter 1 verse 15.
To the pure all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted.
Sin defiles and corrupts our life. When I look at sin, I always think about Staphylococcus aureus. I think about AIDS virus. I think about Japanese hemorrhagic fever virus. I think about the parasite of malaria. I think about Streptococcus that come into my throat and destroy my throat to make me have sore throat. Sin corrupts and destroys our life, defies, cause damage. It's not good. I don't want to have those things in my life. I don't want to have those bacteria in my body. Amen. I want to get rid of them as soon as possible. Amen. Amen. So sin is very destructive. James chapter 5 verse 12. James chapter 5 verse 12.
Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned.
Sin condemns us. If we lie, we are deceitful, we are always cunning, say one thing, do another thing, we are not sincere, we are not honest, that sin is going to condemn us eventually. Make us feel bad and come back and eventually get back to us. Have you ever seen lie? People who lie and eventually the story get back to them that because they tell the story in a different way, end up people find out they lie. Is that right? When you don't say yes, and yes mean yes, you lie. Then eventually, people are going to find out. It will come back and condemn you. You find that you're guilty. So we should not live in sin. It will come back to you. As Christian, you can try to hide your sin. How many months, how many years? I believe with all my heart that God is going to expose it one day.
Amen.
You cannot hide from God. Because when we walk in the light is going to shine. For example, if in this church, I'm a hypocrite. I preach one thing, but I do another thing outside. Believe me, in due time, it's going to be exposed in the church.
Yeah.
I dare not, because I know it's going to come back to me. I'm going to be condemned. People are going to find out that Pastor Lau is a hypocrite. You can hide for a long time, but it's going to happen one day. God is going to show to protect his sheep. The same thing in your walk with God, you know, everywhere you should be honest, you should be transparent to God, and God, deal with me, change me right now. I don't want to hide anything in my life. I don't want to have a secret sin behind the back and no one else know about it. It's going to be revealed one day. So you can see that sins cause so many consequences and damages in our life. So we should not get involved in any sin. If you know that you are living in certain sinful lifestyles, you need to make a decision to stop those as soon as possible. Ask God to help you get into the fire of God, get into worship, praise God, command the devil to go away from you. You can do anything to stop those sins as soon as possible. Don't go on forever, amen, because it's not good for you. Once you see these bad consequences, you will hate sin and you don't want to be friends with sin anymore. Then you will stay away from sin and walk in righteousness and holiness. Any question? I think it's good to kind of have a summary of the whole picture of our consequences of sin in one time, in half an hour like this, and understand so that next time if somebody going to make Mark mad and the office, and you're going to blow up and you're going to revenge, you remember this lesson. That, no, I don't want to do that. Because in fact, you try to do something bad to them, but when you sin, you damage yourself. Why do it? Not worth it. I just back off. They can have their way. I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to sin. When people sin, it doesn't mean you have to sin with them. just walk away from fighting and from sinning with them. Okay, why don't we pray and ask God to really help all of us by the power of the Holy Spirit not to sin against Him. Father, we know we have the nature of Adam, but thank God that You give us the new heart and new spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we have a new nature now. Not the nature of Adam, but the nature of Christ. Lord, help us to push the nature of Adam down. Help us to crucify that nature, but let the nature of Christ rise on the inside of us, Father. That we will walk in purity and holiness. We will walk in the way You want us to walk, Father. Help us by Your Holy Spirit, Father, that we all will not sin against You with our attitudes, our words and our actions, our motives. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.